Chapter 3. Perhaps it was merely the competent coordinator in him, but Jingguang Yao truly appreciated clever schemes working out exactly as planned, even if he was the one being schemed against. It didn't count when it was a matter of chance, like Nie Mingtui finding him in the middle of committing a murder. That was his own fault for not paying better attention, not planning better, and to a certain degree simply his bad luck. But rather, when there was a deliberate effort to set up the circumstances in such a way as to leave an enemy with no retreat and no way out but to react exactly as you wish. Beautiful. Annoying, of course, when it interfered with his own plans, but a pleasure to observe nonetheless. Sadly, his father did not take such things as calmly as he did. By this point, Jingguang Yao was able to repress his flinch at the sound of something expensive breaking as it was thrown against the wall. "Motherless bastard son of a whore!" Jingguang Shan hissed, and it was only the fact that he was glaring out the window of the inn they were staying at in Yilin that let Jingguang Yao conclude that he was not referring to himself. "How dare he pull a thing like this, and at Yilin, no less, the sheer gall of it!" The gall, Jingguang Yao presumed, was in outwitting Jingguang Shan and outdoing the Jin sect at their own game. It had to be that, because in all other respects, it was a masterful stroke. The Yilin patriarch implicitly realigning himself with the Jiang sect by acting in the role of Jiang Cheng's Xi Xiong in hosting the announcement of the marriage between Nie Mingtui and Jiang Cheng. The Nie sect's agreement with that location, representing their endorsement of Wei Wuxian's return to the cultivation world, and the end of the ostracization the Jin sect had worked so hard to accomplish, while the marriage itself represented the formation of an iron-solid alliance between the Nie and Jiang sects that in a single stroke rendered the Jin-Jiang marriage alliance null. Since, after all, Jiang Cheng would be bound to put his husband's requests above those of what, in the end, was merely a married-out sister. The fact that Jiang Cheng adored his sister unreasonably and wasn't the sort to listen to husbandly authority was irrelevant. Jingguang Yao might be smart enough to use that, but Jingguang Shan wasn't. Or perhaps what truly galled Jingguang Shan was how, while they had all been absorbing the implications of the news they had received along with the invitation, Jin Zixuan had loudly and publicly exclaimed that it was wonderful, joyous news, and that he wished Jiang Cheng and Nie Mingtui a long and happy life together. Obviously, that would have had to be the public response regardless. But there were ways of saying it, and there were ways of saying it. Jin Zixuan's exclamation hadn't allowed for any nuance or implication or rumor-mongering. Nothing that they could have done to salvage the situation and try to use it as another way to strengthen their sect by weakening others. They could have implied that this union in fact represented Nie Mingtui's hot-headed impulsiveness, even irrationality. Hinted at spoken but well-known things about Nie Mingtui's longevity and mental state, suggested that Jiang Cheng was trying to take advantage of those things, marrying himself off for a political benefit while only counting a few years in cost. But it was no point in thinking of those things now. Now, thanks to Jin Zixuan, the only thing they could do was come to this little inn in Yilin and grit their teeth and smile, their lips full of well-wishes they didn't mean in the slightest. Moreover, while Jingguang Shan saw the entire thing as little more than an exercise in frustration in his proper heir, who he believed to be too noble and chivalrous to think of the implications before he spoke, Jingguang Yao had seen the faint smile on Jin Zixuan's face right before he'd spoken, and the expression on his face upon hearing the news hadn't been surprise. He'd known. And judging by the pleased but not shocked expression on Mistress Jiang's face, the source of his knowledge was clear. Jin Zixuan had known, and he'd spoken deliberately. He'd locked his sect into expressing joy at the union, undermining all their plans. And he'd done it on purpose. Jing Guangyao was dying to know how Nie Mingchui had arranged that. Because he had, of course. Jing Guangyao had immediately quizzed his contacts at the Lotus Pier, and they all confirmed that the marriage wasn't anything as pedestrian as a mere love match. Nie Mingchui had explicitly proposed on the basis of mutual benefit for their sects, and Jiang Cheng had accepted on those selfsame grounds. He had even announced it to his sect in that fashion, explaining some of the benefits he believed the arrangements would bring to the Lotus Pier, and assuring them that he would never forsake their interests, even as he planned to spend at least 1 month in every three at Qinghe. If it had been a love match, Jing Guangyao wouldn't have been that impressed. It didn't take a genius to fall in love and luck out into a political move that shook the world, especially since Nie Mingchui's luck had always been irritatingly good. But to deliberately plan and execute such a move, not only the alliance itself, but also using the arrangement as an excuse to get the Yilin patriarch and all his tricks and toys onto the side of the Nie sect when days before he had been an enemy to all the world, to use Wei Wuxian in turn to obtain instant approval from the Lan sect, given Lan Wangji's inexplicable fondness for the man and Lan Xichen's desire to please his brother, to even use Jiang Cheng's connection to Jin Sichuan to undermine the Jin sect's ability to fight back, to do it all at once? Beautiful. Truly beautiful. He hadn't thought Nie Mingchui had it in him, to be honest. All that talk about honor and doing the right thing and all that, he'd long assumed it was mere naivete. The mind of a child and the body of a man trying to play at politics. That Nie Mingchui was a blunt instrument good only for war. In such circumstances, especially with what happened between them in the past, it was only reasonable for Jing Guangyao to break with him fully and support his father instead. But now that he knew that Nie Mingchui was actually capable of such a clever ploy, Jing Guangyao watched without expression as his father continued to break his own things in his impotent anger, like a toddler having a tantrum that wouldn't change anyone's decisions one bit. Perhaps it was time to start reconsidering which horse he was backing in this race. Jiang Cheng hadn't expected Wei Wuxian to have such a passion for planning his wedding, although, in retrospect, he really should have. After all, they'd always schemed together as children about the sort of wonderful, grandiose wedding they were going to ensure that Jiang Yan Li would have. And yet, when the time came, it hadn't been possible to include Wei Wuxian in the actual wedding planning, or even execution. He was clearly getting his feelings out about all of that by insisting on micromanaging every possible aspect of this wedding. Since Jiang Cheng didn't actually have the patience or interest to argue with merchants regarding the exact shade of the streamers used to decorate the Lotus Pier, he was happy to let Wei Wuxian run wild with it. He'd worried a little at first. Wei Wuxian was still the Yilin patriarch, after all, feared and loathed by all. But bizarrely enough, everyone seemed to be taking his return to the cultivation world in stride, as if they'd all collectively forgotten that they'd forced Jiang Cheng to expel him from the Jiang sect less than a year before. He'd even heard some of the smaller sect leaders arguing that as adherents to the Jiang sect, they ought to get first access when Wei Wuxian started selling genuine versions of some of his new inventions. On the basis of Wei Wuxian's close connection to the sect that had raised him, no less. Maybe it was only that it was very hard to be afraid of a man shouting about how the Mandarin ducks in Jiang Cheng's wedding robes had to be sewn in proper gold thread. None of this half-assed yellow business. Didn't they know that Jiang Cheng had a complexion that would be faded out by yellow? Still, with that worry settled, Jiang Cheng had very happily allowed Wei Wuxian to use his wedding as a means of reintroducing himself to the cultivation world and settling back into something vaguely resembling his original role as Jiang Cheng's Xixiong. No longer part of the same sect, unfortunately. Not the twin heroes he'd hoped for when he was younger, but so much better than the unthinkable alternative that he wasn't angry, only grateful. Of course, there were some aspects of the wedding preparation that Wei Wuxian couldn't help with. Jiang Cheng's face burned as he looked down at the books on his desk, both the ones he'd already reviewed and the much larger pile of books still to go, as well as the study guide he'd been writing for himself on the side. He'd had to steel his spine and ask Nie Huaisang for them. But luckily, Nie Huaisang, who was enjoying spectating the wedding planning, since what he was doing couldn't really be considered helping, had been, as always, a reliable source for such things. Such pictures. Jiang Cheng was getting married, after all, and it wasn't as though he'd had the mechanics of how cut sleeves did things explained to him during that extremely awkward conversation in his early teens about how babies were made. That talk had been traumatizing enough that he'd properly refrained from doing anything at all with anyone, much less another man. And as a result, he had to try to figure things out from the beginning. It was possible that Nie Mingchui was more educated in such matters than he, and would be able to act as a guide for him. But the idea of making some sort of amateur mistake made Jiang Cheng's skin crawl. He wasn't the genius Wei Wuxian was, confident in getting everything right the first time he tried, no matter how unprepared he was. Studying up in advance was the only solution. Even if it did make his face go hot and his breath come too fast and require occasional breaks from work to go walk around Lotus Pier until his heart rate came down to something more normal. Jiang Cheng secretly suspected that he didn't feel desire the way other people did. He never looked at a person and gone, "Oh yes, I like the look of that," the way it usually got described. Never granted anyone more favors because they were pretty. Never felt like he was missing out on anything by not having someone in his bed. But that didn't mean he didn't enjoy getting off. In theory, having someone to assist with that would be even better. And he didn't know what to do with that. Gritting his teeth, Jiang Cheng picked up another book. Not pictures this time, he noted to his relief. Although he'd found some of the narrative texts managed to be even filthier than the explicit images. All implication and suggestion and no wrong faces to get in the way of him imagining himself in that position. This book, though, started pretty slow. It was well written, taking the time to flesh out the characters and actually throw in a bit of plot to keep the background from being too boring. Though, of course, the focus remained on the main two characters getting closer together, which they did slowly and cautiously, rather than jumping straight into bed the way it was in most such books. There was a lot more emphasis on kissing and on their general reticence and growing familiarity around each other. Perfectly reasonable, given that the characters weren't that close to each other to start with. It was a nice change. Obviously much more applicable to the situation that he and Nie Mingchui were in than in some of the other books where there was nothing but smut, and Jiang Cheng found himself reading it quite avidly, wanting to find out what happened next. And it wasn't until nearly three quarters of the way through and the first spring scene had actually cut out before describing the actual contents of the relevant activity that he abruptly realized that the stupid book wasn't pornography at all, but a romance. He scowled at the book, which was good enough to finish anyway, but still, what a waste of time. Why had Nie Huaisang put this in with the rest of them? After all, Jiang Cheng and Nie Mingchui weren't in a romance. This was a political arrangement, not a love match. It was all hard-nosed, logical decision-making, cost-benefit analysis. Emotions didn't play a role in it at all. And that was just how Jiang Cheng wanted it, given the mess emotions had made of his parents' marriage. Sure, Jiang Cheng enjoyed Nie Mingchui's company. He found the man interesting and engaging and enjoyed being around him regardless of whether they were actively doing something or merely sitting in a comfortable shared silence. Sure, kissing him made Jiang Cheng's heart race and his face go red, while embracing him made him feel warm. The thought of going to bed with him filled Jiang Cheng with anticipation rather than revulsion. He still didn't look at Nia Ming Chui and want to break him down into pieces, thinking nice legs or good ass or anything like that. But he thought he could enjoy touching him and being touched in return. And imagining it with him was far more interesting than imagining it with anyone else. And yeah, sure, it was a bit like that character in the book had put it, that being with him was better than being without him, and being without him felt lonely as it never had before. Wait. Wait. Oh, shit! So I think I might have messed something up, Jiang Cheng said, bursting into the room that was set aside to be Nia Ming Chui's office during the time he would spend at the Lotus Pier. Since, with it being 1 month out of 3, there were bound to be days when they had to deal with confidential sect business that the other couldn't be involved in. He looked as if he had run the entire way. Nia Ming Chui pushed his papers away. Is someone dead or imminently dying? Are we going to war? Jiang Cheng paused and frowned, distracted from his panic. No, it's not that sort of problem.
Then there's time left to fix it,
Nia Ming Chui said. Death was irreversible, war was catastrophic, everything else was negotiable. Or stab-able. The Nia sect was a very practical sect.
Sit down and tell me what happened from the beginning.
Jiang Cheng looked relieved at receiving clear instructions, something Nia Ming Chui had noticed from early on. It seemed to help his anxiety to know that there was someone keeping their head. Ironically enough, Jiang Cheng himself was excellent at keeping his own head in front of the sort of injustice that sent Nia Ming Chui out of his mind with rage. He immediately defaulted to planning on what to do, which in turn calmed Nia Ming Chui down. They were really a very good match, he thought to himself, pleased. It was just as he'd suspected, or perhaps more accurately, hoped. Jiang Cheng sat down. Okay, he said. Right, I messed up.
Non-fatally.
Yeah, non-fatally, but I still did mess up, and it involves you. Nia Ming Chui arched his eyebrows. I understand that our marriage is an arrangement designed to better both our sects, Jiang Cheng said. He was now staring fixedly at the wall a little over Nia Ming Chui's head. But I appear to have developed feelings. Nia Ming Chui managed not to flinch, primarily out of years of practice of attending truly gruesome, awful discussion conferences. That was a disappointment, especially as things had seemed to be going so well. It had always been a risk, he supposed, and one he knew to prepare himself for, although it did come as something of a surprise, especially this late in the process. Nia Ming Chui hadn't seen anyone around Jiang Cheng that he thought might be a likely person for it.
For whom?
He asked, remaining calm. If the person was inaccessible or someone who might be joined into the marriage, then the deal was still salvageable. Certainly his father hadn't complained, but if this was a sticking point... Nia Ming Chui blinked at him owlishly. What? What do you mean, for who? For you, obviously. Now it was Nia Ming Chui's turn to blink. His heart turned over in his chest, abruptly twisting the sting of disappointment into the pleasure of a nice surprise. But mostly what he felt was confusion.
Okay, he said, scowling a little. What's the problem, then?
Jiang Cheng looked at him as if he'd lost his mind. That is the problem. It's one thing entirely to make an agreeable business decision with someone you like well enough. Friends can do anything, but it's not exactly the sort of feelings you get for friends.
We're going to be married, though.
Yes, exactly. Feelings in a marriage lead to jealousy. Jealousy leads to stupid, irrational behavior, which leads to resentment, which poisons the entire relationship.
Ah, Cheng,
Nia Ming Chui said, feeling as though he might be allowed.
Marriages are supposed to cultivate feelings.
Jiang Cheng frowned.
Not everyone is your parents. Most people, in fact. You reach an agreement with someone you respect, you marry, you put in the work necessary to to turn that respect into feelings you can use to base a lifetime together on. What do you think all that practice we've been doing is the foundation for? But jealousy doesn't necessarily lead to resentment, Nieming Tui explained. As long as the feelings are reciprocated, a little jealousy can be not a problem.
Sometimes very much not a problem. Not that Nieming Tui personally suffered from that taste. He was not going to explain the details of his own parents' relationship, however useful an example it might be in this context. If Jiang Cheng wanted an explanation of how people could end up eroticizing jealousy and sexual possessiveness to the point that watching their beloved implicitly reject them in favor of another went from being distressing to exciting, he could ask Nie Huaisang about it.
Oh, Jiang Cheng said, and looked relieved. He wasn't the only one. How did this come up, anyway?
Nieming Tui asked.
Oh, I was reading a book, Jiang Cheng said, and for some reason he flushed a little. It depicted a romance that reminded me of how you and I interact, and my feelings on the subject, and, well, what book?
Jiang Cheng pulled the book out of his sleeve.
It was one of Nie Huaisang's favorite romance novels.
Nieming Tui could identify it on sight based on how many times he'd seen his brother flipping through it and sighing,
and try to offer it over. Only when he did, another book that had somehow gotten stuck to the back of the first one fell down to the floor, landing on its spine and falling open. The page it fell open to was illustrated vividly. There was a moment in which they both stared down at it. Nieming Tui pressed his lips together to keep from laughing, and Jiang Cheng turned beet red and leapt to his feet and started stammering something about making a study guide to avoid embarrassing himself and not to pay attention to it. And anyway, it was all Nie Huaisang's fault. Nieming Tui believed that one immediately. And anyway, the only reason it'd fallen to that particular page was because he was convinced that it wasn't even possible. No, that one's possible, Nieming Tui said, standing up as well. You just need support. Look, see, if I lift you up against the wall like this, he demonstrated, and you put your legs like so, it all works out just fine. Entirely plausible.
Jiang Cheng's mouth was slightly agape, his breath coming a bit quickly. His cheeks were still a lovely shade of pink, and Nieming Tui could tell fairly easily that Jiang Cheng's attempted explanation about the reason he had been lingering on that particular page was a lie.
Oh, he said, and I like you too, just so you know.
Jiang Cheng smiled. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!